Well, welcome. Good morning. 2015. Give yourselves a hand for making it here. Excellent. My name is Pastor Ben. Me and my wife are our Rockford campus pastors, so it's an honor to be back here in Roscoe. It's great to see some faces we haven't seen in a while, but welcome. We're going to have an awesome day today. New year, new you. Amen. 2015's here, and give yourselves a hand for being in church. Yeah, I mean, you guys did it. Take your smartphone out. Take your phone out. I just want you to take a little selfie right now at Life Church, Roscoe, and let everyone know what they're missing out on right now. Like, hey, you're missing out at church, right? You know all your friends are posting selfies of them at the gym, on the about to run this treadmill, you know, and you're like, oh, man. But let them know they should be jealous of you because you're in church today. So this is a good place to be. Amen. New year comes New Year's resolution. How many of you guys have made New Year's resolutions? How many of you guys are going to fail at those? Right? No, I'm joking. You know, so many times we make New Year's resolutions and we just overwhelm ourselves and we just say, I'm going to run 20 miles today, every day. And then we can't even walk like to the mailbox. That's me. I'm like, I'll just smash rather drive to the mailbox. It's a little bit easier. Or you might be like, hey, I'm going to read the whole Bible in 1 month. You know, just slow down. Take it easy. Take your time, you know. Leviticus is kind of hard to get through sometimes. So you might want to pace yourself to succeed, right? But, yeah, we're just so excited. I want to talk to you guys about New Year's resolution with your attitude. Amen? Having the right attitude for 2015. Your vision for this year, for 2015, begins with your attitude, all right? So if you have your Bibles, hold them up in there. Let's give God's word first place in our hearts and minds today. Amen. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I now choose to open up my mind, my heart, to God's word today. All right, here we go. We're going to jump into this thing. My attitude towards Christmas has changed over the years, right? As a kid growing up, your attitude is like, can't wait, it's going to be awesome. And now that I'm a dad and I have kids, it's awesome. I look forward to it until we open the presents and then there's the packages and then there's 1,000 zip ties with a toy stuck to a cardboard box, and you're like, why are there so many zip ties? And all the kid wants to do is play with the toy, and you're like, I can't get this thing out. So you get really frustrated, right? You take the knife out, you just start cutting, and then you cut the doll's head off. Not that ever happened. But it's exhausting, you know? I have two kids, and we have another one on the way. Yeah, so my wife seduced me, so yeah. I love my wife. She's awesome. But we got two beautiful girls, Kinley, and she's one, and Peyton's our oldest, and she is three. And it's amazing kids' attitudes, right? They show attitudes all the time. And Peyton, I love Peyton's attitude. She'll be sleeping all night. She'll wake up in the morning, and she'll be like, Dad, carry me. I'm like, you just slept. Why do I need to carry you? Because my legs are tired. I'm like, get up and walk, you're fine. She goes, I can't, they can't carry me. You know, it's funny that a kid never needs to learn the word can't. I think it's in human nature, it just comes, you know. It's just like, I can't. You know, I'm like, who said you can't do that? You know, but it's funny because opposite, they try to move something that weighs as much as them. And they're like, I can do this thing, I got it. And they're like, just calm down, let me help you, right? So kids are a blast, they're so much fun. We're looking forward to baby number three. And it's going to be exciting, August 8th. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah. But with New Year resolutions come adjustments. Now, I don't know if you ever had a parent growing up tell you, hey, it's time for an attitude adjustment. Has anyone ever heard that growing up? Maybe you hear it now still. And you're like, man, it's time to get out of here. Why don't you hear that? Because you realize your rear end is about to get something behind it, right? And all of a sudden, we think of attitude adjustment, we think of like pain and misery. But really, adjustments are great, right? If your back is in pain, where do you go? You go to the chiropractor, you get your back adjusted, right? And then you're feeling a lot better after that. Sometimes we got to get our finances adjusted. Sometimes that could be pretty painful. But after it's done, you feel better about it, right? Maybe you got a new suit, new clothes, looking good, feel good, you look good, and you got to adjust those, and it feels better, right? Sometimes health needs to be adjusted, so adjustments are a good thing. Even halftime adjustments. I wish the Bears knew how to do that, but they don't. Some of your teams do, and they could learn from that, right? So you want your team to be good at adjustments, right? So it's good to adjust to things. And this year, we need to have a little attitude adjustment, get our attitudes lined up right. Amen? Really quick, your attitude equals your outcome. Would you say that? Depending on your attitude will depend on what your outcome is. I've heard it say, if you have an excellent attitude, you will have excellent results. If you have a good attitude, you will have good results. If you have a fair or average attitude, you have a fair or average result. If you have a poor attitude, you will have a poor result. There's a story in the Bible. It's found in Numbers chapter 13. We're going to dive into it really quick. And it sums up attitude equals outcome. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you open them up to Numbers. Woo, Numbers! It's a book about numbers. No, it's not. It's in the Old Testament. And let me give you a little backstory. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Backstory of this is the Israelites are leaving Egypt after 400 years of slavery. God has sent Moses to deliver them. If you've seen the movie Exodus, I don't know if you have. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's any good. Usually they mess things up, so I don't know. But that gives you a little preference that you can go off of. So they're leaving. God does all this miraculous stuff for them to leave Egypt, and he's doing all kinds of things. He spreads the Red Sea. He's providing for them in the wilderness, a pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. You know, he's providing, he's doing all this stuff, and God is leading them to the promised land where he wants them to go. And so we find ourselves here in this chapter where Moses sends in 12 spies to check out the land. And they're looking at the land and saying, hey, this land is nice. I can sit up right here. It'd be nice under this nice palm tree, right? Especially right about now in the wintertime. Have a nice palm tree. The grapes are big. The melons are big. This land is flowing with milk and honey. It's beautiful. But they discover that there's a lot of obstacles there, right? There's a lot of trials there. And so they come back and they give a report. 10 out of the 12 give a bad report. And there are two, Joshua and Caleb, who had a good report. And that's where we find ourselves here. Verse 30 says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And he said, let us go at once. We can certainly conquer this land. But the other men who explored the land with them disagreed. And they said, we can't go against them. They're stronger than us. We can't do that. We can't, right? It's a can't attitude. And it goes on to say, so they spread lies, a bad report that traveled through the whole land of Israel. And they said, whoever goes to live there, that land will devour them, the people there. And all the people, all the descendants there were like giants, and we were like grasshoppers next to them, and that's what they thought of us too. Everybody say, poor attitude. So we see 12 go in, 10 come back with poor attitudes, 2 have good attitudes. Do you know that your attitude is contagious? Yeah. Attitude is contagious. When you have a poor attitude, it's like a disease. When you get anger and bitterness in there, it's like a disease. It takes root in there, and it just expands, and it spreads through your family. It spreads through the office. It just spreads, kind of like we have an epidemic up here, right? It's like everyone's getting sick. But a good attitude is contagious, right? That can spread forth. And so we see this, that 10 of the spies spread a bad attitude. It spread throughout the land. And this is what happens. This is the land that God promised them. God done all these amazing miracle things, see them through, deliver them from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, providing things for them in the wilderness. They get to this place, say, we can't do it. The attitude is, we can't do it. Not a winning attitude, right? But we see God's response. If you flip over to chapter 14, verse 23, it says, this is God speaking. They will never see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. But my servant Caleb, he had a different attitude, right? Than the others. He remained loyal to me, and I will bring him to the land that he explored. Now, this is what's kind of neat about this story is that God said none of those people who complained, had bad attitudes, would see the promise. They lost out. Their attitude equaled their outcome, right? And so it took a generation, like 40 years, for them to go start possessing the land. The only two people left from that generation was Joshua and Caleb, the ones that had the good attitude, the good report, right? And this is how great God is. Maybe at your workplace, you've been struggling, trying to get your boss, maybe coworkers trying to get that promotion, or maybe your business, and things aren't going to plan because of other people's poor attitudes. Don't let that affect your attitude. Stay positive. It might take a little bit longer to where you want to go, but watch what God did with Joshua and Caleb. And in the book of Joshua, they're about to enter the land, right? And the Bible goes on to say that Caleb didn't lose any strength. He was age 40 when we went to explore that land. So 40 years later, he's 80. And he said he was just as strong as his youth. His eye was not dim. He stood on his hill and he defended that hill, although he was young. That's how great God is. When you have a good attitude and someone stops you with a bad attitude, he'll get you. He'll make up time. God doesn't care about time. Amen. Amen. So have a good attitude. Having a poor attitude, catching that, is not going to change your outcome this year. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Google, because I found this quote on Google, and it says this: watch your attitude, it becomes your thoughts. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Amen. The 12 had a bad attitude, and what happened? They found their destiny. They were in lack. They didn't get to enter the promise. Joshua and Caleb had good attitudes. What was the destiny? To soar high and to get to where God wanted them to go. Amen? So it works both ways. You have a good attitude, guess what? You have good thoughts. If you have good thoughts, you have good words. If you have good words, you have good actions. If you have good actions, you have good habits. If you have good habits, you have good character. If you have good character, you have an amazing destiny waiting for you. Amen? Heard this said, it's, you know, life, you can only control one thing. Let me start over. The only thing you can control 100% of the time is your attitude, right? No one else. A person cutting you off in traffic, God bless them, and you just want to give them a piece of your mind, you know? You can control your attitude, right? Whatever is your situation, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. Right? That's what it is. It's really 10% of stuff happening, how you're responding to that. Your attitude towards life determines life attitude towards you. How you view life, you are just reflecting. What you are getting from other people, you are reflecting what you want to receive from them. Amen? If you want friends, but you stay at home and play video games all the time, you're like, I don't have any friends. What are you saying to everybody? Leave me alone. I want to play my video games. Right? Right? If you want to be social, but you know you're not talking to people, you're quiet, and you're like, why does anyone talk to me? It's because it's what you're reflecting, right? Life only reflects back what you reflect to it, what you want to get from it, right? Our attitudes towards others determines their attitudes towards us, right? Some of us have this attitude like, well, I have a good attitude when they have a good attitude. When my boss gets a good attitude, then I can show up with a good attitude. When my teacher at school has a good attitude, then I'll have a good attitude. It's like this. It's like you're standing in front of a cold fireplace and saying, give me heat. Give me heat, right? And is any heat going to come out of that fireplace?
No,
you got to put fuel into that fireplace, right? And then it will give you heat. You have to respond. Someone has to react. Has to start somewhere, right? Why doesn't it start with the church, with you as Christians, right? Amen. Yes. There's an analogy that I've used a lot, and it's a thermostat and a thermometer, right? One sets the temperature of the room, and one reads the temperature of the room, okay? Some of us, we just are thermometers, and we're not really responding to anything. We're just... What if the room goes hot, we go hot. If it goes cold, we go cold, right? Because we're not positioning ourselves to set the temperature. A thermostat sets the temperature of the room, right? So we ought to be thermostats set the temperature of our surroundings, our environment, set the temperature. Don't just start the day off of neutral. A lot of us are just responding to whatever comes to us because we just start a neutral. We get up and we're like, all right, let's just go and see what happens today, right? And then all of a sudden we get someone who has a bad negative attitude, and then we're bad negative attitude the rest of the day. We got to set a precedent. Start the day off with saying, I'm going to have a good attitude today. Amen. Be a thermostat. Set that temperature in your house, in your family, in your home, in your classroom, wherever you go. You can set that temperature. Amen. Let's be those thermostats. How does one develop a good attitude? The same way anybody develops being good at anything, by practice. It's simple. It's just practice. It's printing out the word attitude, maybe right on your forehead backwards. So when you look in the mirror, you say, attitude, you know, or just print it out, put it on the mirror, or put it in your car. So you see it, you know, attitude. So many of us start the day off in neutral where the alarm clock goes off. Beep, beep, beep. You're like, ah, oh, I hate this thing. You just throw your pillow at it. I want to sleep. But let's respond. Let's be anticipating that alarm clock going off, right? Anticipate it. How many plans has the snooze button ruined in our lives, right? Many plans. Probably amazing days have been ruined by that snooze button. And I'll be the first to tell you, I hit that thing. I don't have an alarm clock anymore. I have two girls that just say, Dad! They're my alarm clocks. I'm like, it's 6 o'clock. Why are you awake? God's not even awake. Jesus is sleeping. Go to bed. You know, it's like, but I'm hungry. Well, you can wait. You ate breakfast yesterday. It's fine. No. But so many times that alarm clock goes off, I'm like, you know what? I don't need to eat breakfast today. Snooze. Goes off again. Beep, beep, beep. You know what? I don't need to shower today. I showered yesterday. Snooze. Beep, beep. I don't need to go to the gym. It's fine. Snooze. Beep, beep, beep. You know what? I always wanted to find a new job. Snooze, right? It's like, set yourself up to succeed, all right? Set yourself up to succeed. Be expecting. Practice having a good attitude. When someone gets a bad attitude, drive in, you get road rage, you know, just calm down. Have a good attitude about it, right? Another way is treating everybody the way they ought to be treated, with respect and honor and loving them, because that's how people ought to be treated, is that they're the most important in the room. When you come in contact with someone, say, you know, I'm so interested in you, right? That's how Jesus responds to us. So practice that. You start responding to people that way, people will start responding to you in that manner. Amen. So keys of having a winning attitude. The first one is confident. Everyone say confident. All right. You're not just confident in yourself. So yes, it's great to have good abilities. It's great to have awesome education, all those things. Not just confident in all the training you've done, but you need to be confident and know that you're backed up by a loving God. Amen. Always be hopeful. Positive thinking leads to positive results. Amen. Be confident. Be confident who God is and who God has called you to be. Amen? If you have your Bibles, open it up to Genesis. There's a story about a really cool guy named Joe. He had a really cool coat, many colors. You might have heard about him, the miraculous dream coat or something like that. It's a skit, right? Play? I don't know. But the story of Joseph goes like this. More backstory here. Joseph has 12 brothers. He's the favorite son. His father gives him a really cool coat. Beautiful. He's his favorite. So he likes to rub it into his brother's face, you know, like, I'm the favorite. Got a cool coat. You don't. He's got lambs and stuff. My coat's cool. And so he's like, I'm going to do awesome things for God. And he gets a little thick-headed and a little boastful. And his brothers say, you know, let's kill this guy. I mean, you guys want brothers like that. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. No, I don't want a brother. Well, sometimes it does happen between brothers. You got to calm down, son. But then the older brother Reuben's like, you know, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit and sell him. Let's make some money off of him, right? Like a true good old brother. So they sell him, and then he gets bought by Potiphar, right? And those days, a slave has, once you're sold in slavery, you have nothing. You don't have clothes on. You're naked, bare, because they want to make sure you're not diseased and how strong you are and everything, because you're just a servant. You're a slave. And so Joseph finds himself with nothing. And the interesting story, it goes on to say in Genesis chapter 39, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Edomites, they traded him to,
to be purchased by Potiphar, the Egyptian officer. Potiphar was a captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Watch this. The Lord was with Joseph. Everybody say, the Lord was with Joseph.
The Lord was with Joseph.
The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph had nothing. He had no bank account. He had no money in his pocket. He had no support from home, right? His family wasn't around. He had nothing. Nothing. So your confidence can't just be in your education, your house, your job. Your confidence needs to be in God, and He is with you.
Amen.
Joseph found himself with nothing, abandoned, sold in slavery by his own family, his own blood, right? Nothing. But God was with him. Maybe some of you guys maybe lost your job. You need to know God's with you, right? Maybe you're going through something in your life where you got a bad report from the doctor. God is with you. Amen. Maybe your bank account is non-existent because you got kids and you're just buying crazy stuff. You know, you got house payments, bills, and you're like, God, help us. God is with you, right? Amen. Now watch this. It goes on to say, God was with Joseph, so he exceeded in everything he did. When God is with you and your confidence is in that, you will exceed in everything you did. And guess what? People will start to notice. Your boss will notice. People that don't know anything about God will start to notice that something's about this person. Their attitude's great. They're confident. And watch this. This goes on to say, Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph. And in everything he gave him, he exceeded at. Confidence that God is with you. He's with you. The story of Joseph doesn't stop there, right? Later on, Potiphar's wife thinks Joseph's pretty hot. And is like, hey, let's hang out. And Joseph's like, no, sorry, I don't do that. Runs out, and he gets lied about, loses his job, and worse than that, he gets thrown in jail. How many guys are like, Joseph, yeah, great attitude, yeah, right? At that point, you're like, man, God, what's going on? I thought you were with me. I'm in jail right now. How could things get any worse, right? We got no food, we got no jobs, our pets' heads are falling off. All right, and Joseph finds himself, but he doesn't get down, right? He keeps a good winning attitude, and he becomes in charge of the whole prison, right? And then from the prison, he goes on to become second in command of Egypt. All because I believe he kept a winning attitude. I'm sure there was times where Joseph was like, man, this is a tough life. Anybody would do that. But I believe Joseph knew God was with him. Even when he lost everything, he knew God was with him. And all he could do is succeed. Everybody say confident.
Confident.
Be confident. God is with you.
Amen.
Next one is heart. Everyone say heart.
Heart.
Have heart. Be passionate about what you do, what you believe. Be passionate about your work. Be passionate about your family. Have passion in everything you do. Love it. Do it with a heart, right? Do everything you do unto the Lord. Amen. Your job, your work, whatever you're doing, shoveling snow, right? Do it unto God, right? Able. Everyone say able.
Able.
You are physically and mentally equipped for the task at hand. It's our attitude when we start a difficult task that will bring out the outcome, good or bad. So you are able. Know you're able. Have an able attitude. It's like, yeah, this task is difficult. It's challenging, but if you have the I can attitude, guess what? The outcome will be good and excellent. If you have the attitude like, I can't do it, I can't, then it will be negative, and it won't be an outcome that you're waiting for. Just like anybody with an attitude, a poor attitude towards learning, right? They're going to have a poor outcome, right? Have a good attitude. Even if you don't learn like everyone else, still have a good attitude, right? Growing up, in junior high, I was a slow learner, okay? I think most boy junior high kid guys are just slow learners. But I kind of had a poor attitude. Like, I'm just dumb. But if I would have took on, you know what? I can learn this. I can learn. Maybe I can't learn it as fast as the other person, but I can learn it, right? And you have a good attitude that way, you will learn it. Amen? Awesome. Another one is motivated. Everyone say motivated.
Motivated.
Stay motivated. You are willing to pay the price all the time. You're really to put in the effort, put in the resources, and you're committed to the end. Stay motivated. You know one of the biggest ways to stay motivated is being grateful.
Amen.
Yes. Just being grateful. When you're grateful, you will stay motivated. When you're thankful, you'll be motivated. Just being grateful, waking up in the morning and not being like, oh, another day on planet Earth. Jesus, take me now, right? It's like, when are you going to return? No, be grateful. Another day on planet Earth, right? Yeah. 2015, I get another year. Sweet. Awesome. Things are good. Being grateful is key to being motivated and keeping a good attitude. When you have that, you will not, you can't be stopped to being grateful. I know that, how many of you guys are grateful for the snow today? Anybody? I was not grateful. Got a shovel. And my car's parked outside, so that means it's a bunch of snow on it. And it's cold out there. And I was like, man, stupid snow. I gotta get the stuff off, right? But you know what? At least I had a car to brush off, amen, right? That's being grateful. You might at first be like, oh, man, I'm not really feeling the snow right now. But hey, at least you got a driveway that you can shovel, right? I remember last year around on Christmas Eve, it was freezing last year. You guys remember this? Anybody from out of town who wasn't here last year? I wish I was you. It was sub-zero temperatures, like negative 30. Anybody do the thing where you boiled the hot water and you threw up in the air and you watched it? Like, that was awesome, right? That was so, hey, that's saying grateful, right? It's something you can do. But Christmas Eve, so cold, my pipes froze at my house. Frozen pipes, right? I was not grateful. I was like, stupid house! Why do I live here? You know, it's like, you're not grateful. Frozen pipes. And I was like, thank you, Santa Claus, for the early Christmas present. Frozen pipes. I didn't want that, but that's great, right? Thanks for bringing it early, though. That's really nice. But I just found myself being like in a bad attitude. Like, man, just like anybody would be. But then I started realizing, you know what? At least I have a house where my pipes could freeze, right? And at least that they didn't burst and there was water everywhere. So there's always a way to look at it. Be grateful. That's how you stay motivated. Next thing to stay motivated is be expectant. Expect to conquer and to reach your goals. Expect to for the best for this year. Amen. Yeah, we'll keep you motivated to be expecting. All the goals you set up, the New Year's resolutions you set up, expect to reach them. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Next one is patient. Everyone say patient. Be patient. Wait for the right timing. Wait for the right move. Be disciplined. You know, a lot of people have this attitude is, I'll have a good attitude when my breakthrough comes. I'll be happy when I get that job. I'll be happy when I find the right person. I'll be happy when, right? And we're not patient. We're not having a good attitude. You know, God doesn't work in our time frame. He doesn't work in a box. So many times you try to put God in a box saying, God, this is how I want you to work, right? 2 p.m., I need to have this right away, right? God doesn't work in our time frame. Be patient with God. And don't have this attitude like, I'll be happy when. Be happy now. Be grateful now. Be as you're being patient for those things to come. Amen? Amen. Next one is being intentional. Everybody say intentional. Be intentional. Make the most of every opportunity. Be intentional about your training, books you read. Be intentional about what you're eating. Be intentional about how you speak. Be intentional. Be intentional how you work and what you do and everything. Do it with purpose. You know, a lot of times what happens is we see people that are successful and we say, man, they're lucky. Man, they just caught a good break, right? And we think that luck just has come their way. You know, most people that are succeeding, it's because of their attitude towards life. Just because they had a good attitude that they could overcome any obstacle, right? And it doesn't matter your education status, doesn't matter where you were born, doesn't matter where you're from. If you have the right attitude, you can accomplish anything. That's been proven through history, amen? So all luck is this. Luck has nothing to do with it. All luck is when preparedness meets opportunity. Have the right attitude. Be like, I'm prepared, right? I'm motivated. I'm ready to go. And guess what? Opportunity is there every day. There is always opportunity. And seize that day, right? Seize the day. Amen. Next one is overcoming. Everyone say overcoming. Overcome. You can overcome anything. We are now more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord, all right? Even when you fall, get back up. Don't stay down. Even when you feel defeated, even when you feel like, man, I really messed up, you can overcome those obstacles. You can overcome those things. Get back up. Dust yourself off and get back on track. Go again. Amen. And the next one is this. Never quit. Never give up. Never stop. Never quit. Never stop. Never give up. This is having a winning attitude. And Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said this. I have told you these things so that you may have my peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Thanks, Jesus. Thanks for the encouragement. No, in this world, you will have trouble. This year, we'll have trouble, right? There will be times of trouble. But he says this, take heart. I have overcome the world. In your trouble, know that, you know, nothing that we experience in this life is a surprise to God. It's not a surprise to Jesus. Jesus experienced everything that we've experienced. He overcame them. And we can have confidence in that we can overcome those things. Amen. Never stop, never quit, never give up. When times get hard, know that you can rise above those things because God's with you. He's on your side. Even if you lost everything, God is still with you. You haven't lost God. Amen. He's still with you through the end. This is a winning attitude. All those little points, you take the first letter, makes champion. Amen. You are a champion in Christ Jesus. He has made us champions. And you know, a champion is not made just when they win the championship, right? Champions are not made when you win the championship. They're made in the everyday decisions. The everyday saying, I'm going to have a good attitude today. The everyday. The Bible says if you're faithful in the small things, I take that as if you're faithful in the small things every day, you're going to be faithful in the big things. Amen? Amen. You have a good attitude when you're faced with the small things. You're going to have a good attitude when you're faced with the bigger things. Amen? God is for you. He's not against you. Start each day off with the right attitude. Don't start off in neutral, just reacting to people's attitudes, people around you. You know, be that thermostat. Set the temperature in the office. Set the temperature with your employees. Set the temperature at your school, in your home, wherever you're going, at the mall, in your car. Set the temperature. Amen? Amen? Don't just react. Don't just respond. It's all cause and effect, right? It's cause and effect. Amen. So what do you want to get back from people? Give them a good attitude, you're going to get it back. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, if you want to turn there with me. Philippians chapter 4, it's New Testament, all right? New Testament, yeah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Keeping the winning attitude, all right? Being all those things. It says this. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Everyone say true. What is honorable. Everyone say honorable. What is right. Everyone say right. Pure. Everyone say pure. Lovely. Everyone say lovely. Admirable. Everyone say admirable. Think about such excellent, praiseworthy things as these. Amen. So when tough things come, when the tough times come, think about what is true. What is right? Fix your thoughts, right, on these things. Fix your attitude like this. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yes. We can alter our lives by altering our attitudes and minds. We can alter 2015 by altering your attitude and your mind towards 2015. Amen. Fix your thoughts on what is true. When troubles come, when things happen, fix your thoughts. What is true? God loves me. He's with me, right? What is lovely? God loves me. You know, I can be passionate right now. Maybe the breakthrough you're looking for this year is a simple adjustment with your attitude. Amen. Maybe the marriage you're struggling your marriage. Maybe the breakthrough for your marriage is adjusting your attitude towards your marriage, right? Maybe the breakthrough for your business is adjusting the attitude you have towards the business. Maybe it's your job. Adjust your attitude towards your job. In school, adjust your attitude. It's so simple sometimes. That could be where real freedom is, right? We can alter our lives by altering our attitudes. Amen. You guys receive that today?
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you stand with me, and we're going to close here in a little bit. I just want to encourage you guys today. Keep a positive attitude towards this year. God loves you so much. And the gospel clearly states that. The picture of the cross is such a powerful picture. Such a powerful picture. Maybe the breakthrough for that addiction, maybe the breakthrough for that sin pattern, whatever it might be, is just changing your attitude towards how you see it. Many of you probably respond like, man, I'm never going to get over this. Man, I'm never going to see breakthrough on this. Change your attitude. You're like, you know what? Yes, myself, I can never defeat this thing. But with Jesus, I can defeat this thing. He's with me. Amen. That's position yourself to succeed. Amen. Set yourself up to succeed this year, 2015. We look at the picture of the cross. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. You know that you're the righteousness of Christ. And you might be sitting there today, you might say, well, how can a person that just sinned their whole life become righteous? The same way a person who lived righteous their whole life became sin. Jesus died on the cross and received your sin. He received it. So all you have to do is receive his righteousness. Amen. You are free. Amen. You are righteous. So stop letting the devil beat you up and saying that you're just a failure and you always mess up. No, you're righteous because what Jesus did on the cross for you. You know there's only one time that Jesus ever called our Heavenly Father God. That's when he was on the cross. All other times he addressed God as Heavenly Father. And one time on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did that for you. You know that? He wanted you to know that God really forsaked him so he wouldn't forsake you. Amen. And so that you didn't have to just come to God as a humble servant and say, God, God. You could come to him as a Heavenly Father. Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father. That's how God wants you to approach him. Is Daddy, Daddy. When my girls come to me and say, Dad, 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 Daddy, Daddy. I hope they call me Daddy all their life. I'll be fine with it. Right? Because it just brings so much joy. It's a sense of, I can help. Amen. He's your dad. One final thing is this. God turned his face away from Jesus so he could turn his face to you. Amen. No one ever seen the face of God in the Bible. No one ever seen. The only time you've seen God was his backside. Until now, he turned his face towards you because you're the righteousness. Amen. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Why wouldn't this be a great year? Despite everything, God is with you. Our Heavenly Father, Daddy, Daddy, is in your corner. Amen. He has your back. Bow heads, close your eyes, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. God, we thank you for a new year, new expectations. God, we're expecting amazing things. We go in this new year, this new season with expectations that we will succeed at everything that we put our hands to you because you back us up. You are for us. Father, I thank you, God, when troubles come, God, that we can rise above them with the right attitude. God, we start adjusting our attitude, God, towards life, and you can just bring a great outcome. And Father, all starts with a relationship with Jesus. So if you're here today and you never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, he wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be more than that. He wants to be Daddy, Daddy to you. Jesus makes that happen. He wants to make you righteous today. He wants you to know that you can overcome any obstacle in your life. Even if you've done it to yourself, you can still overcome that through Jesus. If that's you today, you're saying, I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. No one looking around just between you and God. Say, I need Jesus. I see that hand right there. Awesome. Awesome. If you're here today and you just feel like, man, I'm just a failure. I'm just a screw up. And you need Jesus to come in and fix that. If that's you, just put a hand up. Say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus' help. Awesome. Awesome. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for making me new. Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. Thank you that I can do anything through your help. Holy Spirit, fill me, lead me, and guide me. Amen. Let me bless you really quick. Father, I thank you so much for everyone here, God, my friends here. God, I thank you, God. You said that they're blessed and highly favored. God, you call them the head and not the tail. You put them above and not beneath. God, I thank you. We're not under circumstances. We're over circumstances. God, and we can do all things through Jesus who gives us strength. God, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind that we can be confident who we are in Christ Jesus. We're sons and daughters of God, and we belong to you. And just like Colossians says, that we must continue to believe this truth, that we are made blameless and holy without a single fault in your sight. And we do not drift away from that. That's the grace of God covering us, Father. We thank you for a great year. Bless my friends here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming today. We're going to have our prayer team come forward. If you need someone to come in agreement with you, pray with you, encourage you, we got an awesome prayer team here that would love to do that. Have a blessed 2015.